Corinthians in our Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And we'll begin our reading together in verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And let's begin our reading in verse number 15. The Bible says in verse 15, 1 Corinthians 9, "But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel," verse 16, "for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." I want us to notice, if we could, verse 17, of our text here. The Bible says, a dispensation of the gospel. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to gather together in your name. We're grateful, Lord, for the wonderful truth that you've provided to us in your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to glean these truths for our life, that, Lord, we would not only just be hearers of your word, but we would be doers also. I pray, Lord, that you would bind Satan and his demons. I pray that your word would fall on good ground, that it would spring up and grow in our hearts and in our lives. And I pray, Lord, that you would be glorified, and may your word be glorified in us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when we often think about the idea of stewardship, the first thing that comes to our mind is money. We think about stewardship, we often think about money. I heard the story of a pastor who stood up before his congregation. They were in the middle of a building project. And he told his congregation, his church family, he said, "I have good news and I have bad news." He said, "First of all, the good news is we have enough money for the building project." And everyone started to cheer and they were so excited about that. He said, "The bad news is it's still in your wallets." The reality is that we often think about stewardship when it comes to money, but stewardship involves far more than just our pocketbooks. A steward is not an owner, but the one who handles and manages the resources for the owner. I mean, we understand this morning that God is the owner. 1 Corinthians 10 teaches us, "For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof." And so we are the stewards of what God has entrusted us with. We are stewards of the time that we have. That's why the Bible says, "Redeem the time, for the days are evil." We are stewards, of course, of our money and our resources. But we are also stewards, and this is maybe something you never thought about before, we are stewards of the gospel. Of the gospel. Now I want us to note verse 17 here. The Bible says, "For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." Now that word there, dispensation, it means stewardship. A stewardship of the gospel is placed upon me. Now, just because an individual does not accept responsibility doesn't mean it's no longer their responsibility. And that goes with parents and with a Christian. Just because we don't accept the responsibilities that have been given to us doesn't mean that it's no longer our responsibilities. And this is what the Apostle Paul is talking about in this passage of Scripture. Paul is saying, listen, if I willingly preach the gospel, I receive a reward. But if I am unwilling to do that, then there is still a stewardship or a dispensation of the gospel that is placed upon me. In other words, I am a steward of what God has entrusted me with. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 in verse 1, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." This is 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." God has given us the gospel. You say, well, what is the gospel? Well, the gospel is defined for us in 1 Corinthians 15. The gospel is, verse 3, that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried in a borrowed tomb, and that on the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures. This is the gospel. And Paul is saying in this passage of Scripture that the gospel is important. Now, we understand that we are to preach the gospel, and if we're going to preach the gospel, we need to know what the gospel is. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Luke chapter 24, would you turn there with me, the gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter, verse 45. The gospel of Luke and the 24th chapter, verse 45. The Bible says this, verse 45, "Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures." Now, we have received the word of God, that is God's revelation. And then we have how God gave the Scriptures, how God gave this revelation. That's inspiration. God breathed. And then we think about how God has kept the Scriptures so that we have them in our hands today. That's called preservation. And then we think about how God teaches us the Scriptures. That's illumination. And the Bible says that God opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. And he saith unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things." I want us to understand for just a moment the stewardship that we have of the gospel, the dispensation of the gospel that has been committed to our trust. A couple of things, if we could write these down, if you're taking notes, would you write it down? Number one, would you write this down? We have received the gospel. We have received the gospel. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I've preached unto you." Now notice this expression, "which also ye have received." I remember as a small boy, as a child sitting in Sunday school, and I remember as a child in Sunday school, and maybe you have this type of memory as well, and you're sitting in a Sunday school class, and I remember the teacher teaching me the gospel as a small child, the gospel. I remember the teacher telling me that Jesus died for me, that he was buried, and that he rose again. And because I heard the gospel, by the way, not just in a Sunday school class, but I also heard the gospel in my home. Because I heard the gospel, there came a time in my life when I received that gospel message. I read about the great preacher, Dr. Lee Robinson, who was attending a Sunday school class, and the teacher asked all the boys and girls in that Sunday school class if they knew they were going to heaven. And that he wrote in his biography that everyone in that class raised their hands but him. And he said it troubled him. It troubled him. He said, I heard the gospel, I knew the gospel, and I went home that night and I prayed and asked Jesus to save me. He says, I received the gospel. I went back and the teacher the next Sunday asked that same question, and he said, I raised my hand right away. I received the gospel. You know, there's a lot of activities in churches today, but I wonder, friend, how many churches you could go to in this area and hear the gospel. And hear the gospel. I'm amazed of how many young people know nothing about God today. They know nothing about Jesus. They know nothing about the eternal truths, that if they were to leave this world today, that they would spend forever somewhere. You know, the Bible teaches us that we cannot receive the gospel until we hear the gospel. Now, I know this is elementary this morning, but let's think about this. We cannot receive the gospel until we hear the gospel. Before a person can receive the gospel message, they must first hear that gospel message. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 10 and notice what the Bible says here. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 14. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 14. Romans, the 10th chapter, and verse number 14. The Bible says this, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Someone cannot receive the gospel unless they hear the gospel. Now, the Bible teaches us that we are all sinners. All of us here today are sinners, including this preacher. We are all sinners. We are separated from God. And the Bible teaches us that Jesus died for us, but he also died as us. He took our place. We deserve that cross, but Jesus died a substitutionary death so that we could have eternal life. And if we believe in the gospel that Jesus died for us, if we believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, then we can in simple faith call out to him. And the Bible says that he will save us. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm glad that there's not a person that I could meet in this world that does not need to hear that message, that Jesus died for all people. But hearing the gospel isn't enough. We also have to receive that message. We have to believe that message. And so the Bible teaches us that there is an accountability. There's an accountability. In Luke chapter 12, if we could turn there in Luke chapter 12, it talks about the accountability. The accountability of hearing the gospel, or the accountability of being a steward of what God has given to us. The Bible says in Luke chapter 12, the Lord Jesus is teaching us this important truth. Luke chapter 12, verse 48, the Bible says, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. I think there's a couple of things we have to understand here when it comes to the accountability that the Bible teaches us. First of all, there is an accountability to obey the gospel. The Bible says this in Romans 10, verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. Now, there's a couple of things. You give the gospel to someone, it's not often that the first time that they hear the gospel, they obey the gospel or they receive the gospel. Oftentimes, they have to hear the gospel again and again and again and again. But there is still that accountability to obey the gospel. The Bible says that now is the day of salvation. Now is that accepted time. We are not guaranteed tomorrow. And so there's the accountability of receiving the gospel. For Elias saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? In 1 Peter chapter 4, in verse 17, the Bible says, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? If you're not a Christian here this morning, God brought you here so you'd be saved. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. And God wants you to obey the gospel. He wants you to receive the gospel today. That is the heart of God. You may be putting it off for whichever reason, but I beg of you today, receive the gospel of Christ in your heart. But not only is there this accountability of receiving the gospel or obeying the gospel, but the Bible also teaches us as Christians that there is also an accountability to share the gospel. The Bible says, because we know the truth, because we have been given a great opportunity, Paul says, because you have also received the gospel, you have a dispensation of the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 17. So what does this mean for us? Well, number two, because we have the gospel, we owe the gospel to other people. You know, Paul did not have a monopoly over the gospel, but the gospel sure had a monopoly in his life. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, would you turn there? And I want you to allow the Bible to speak to your hearts. This is a powerful passage of Scripture. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 14. Romans chapter 1 and verse 14. Look what the Bible says here. Romans 1 verse 14. The Bible says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. You know how this would make a dynamic difference in our lives if every Christian believed this with conviction. Paul said this, I am a debtor to all men, both Jew and Gentile alike. Paul said, I owe it to all people because God has made me a steward. Because God has made me a steward. I have a debt. I have a debt. The story is told of a man who had been through a great deal of attack by critics and such. And the man was having a meeting with the members of the board, and he looked at them with disappointment. And he said to the board, each of you men did not hurt me, but you also didn't help me. And I think many times we as Christians believe that no involvement is better than anything we could ever do personally. Our attitude is, well, you know what? I could give that person the gospel, but I mean, what if I mess it up? Or what if I say something wrong? What could you possibly do? They're already heading to hell. Tell them of the love of God. Tell them your testimony. Tell them how you have a hope in your heart. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to have all your T's crossed and your I's dotted. All you have to do is give to them the gospel. And Paul says, I owe a debt because I have received the gospel. And this means that my omission is really criminal in nature. The Bible says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I've received the gospel of Christ. Paul says, Jesus has paid my debt. He took my sin upon himself. I deserve to pay for my sins for all eternity, separated from God in a place called hell. But Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Doesn't that mean anything to you? Paul says it means a lot to me. It means I'm a debtor. It means because I've received the gospel, I owe the gospel to other people, to those I meet each and every day. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 13, the Bible says this, listen as I read it, 2 Corinthians 5 and the 13th verse, for whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, and they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. The Bible says it is the love of Christ that constrains us. It is very natural for us to live our life for the one who died for us. It's natural for us to live our life for Christ, who gave himself for us. And we may, oftentimes, we don't even know the person that we're giving the gospel to. But we know one thing about them. God loves them, and he died for them. And God wants them to be saved. You see, I watched a man walk by me. I knew that I should tell. The love that Jesus had for him explained to him of hell. But fear had overwhelmed me. And as he walked on by, why didn't I tell of Jesus Christ? Why didn't I even try? And as I thought about it, my heart it was compelled. For where would I be today if someone didn't tell? Where would you be today if someone didn't share with you the gospel? Where would you be today if someone didn't pay that debt? Where would you be today if someone did not, even though they were probably terrified, maybe handed you a gospel tract and said they'll teach you how to go to heaven? Where would you be today if someone didn't care enough to give you the truth? And this is what Paul is talking about in this passage of Scripture. Thirdly, I want us to think about this, real simple here this morning. We owe a debt, and thirdly, we must pay that debt. We must pay that debt. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. You know, the reason why we have ladies' meetings and men's meetings and friend Sundays and friend and family Sundays is to give us an opportunity to invite people to come. Because let's face it, Church is not a popular thing in our society today. And they may not come on a regular Sunday, but if you say, hey, we're having a friend and family Sunday, and I would love for you to come and be my friend or my family member, and the reality is you'll get a gift, I'll get a gift, we'll all win. It's a wonderful opportunity for us to come, and maybe I'll take you out to lunch after. But listen, I guarantee you, they'll hear the gospel. They'll hear about the love of God. They'll hear that Christ died for their sins and that they can have an eternal life. And Paul was concerned about people. In fact, in verse 17 and 18, he says here that we have been reconciled with God. And then in verse 18, he says that we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. This is an incredible responsibility. That God has said to us, listen, your task on this earth is to reconcile humanity with me. Because you have received the message, you are responsible in sharing that message. If we didn't have a purpose on this earth, once we got saved, we'd be in heaven. But we have a responsibility to preach the gospel to every creature. You see, the Bible teaches us that because we have received the message, we owe a debt. And friend, listen to me. We have to work hard in paying that debt and telling other people about the Lord Jesus. On a dark and stormy night when the waves rolled like mountains and not a star was seen, a boat was rocking and plunging near the Cleveland Harbor. Are you sure this is Cleveland? Asked the captain, looking only at one light from the lighthouse. Quite sure, sir, replied the pilot. Where are the lower lights? Well, they're gone out, sir. Can we make the harbor? We must, the captain said, or we'll perish. And with a strong hand and a brave heart, the old pilot turned the wheel. But in the darkness, he missed the channel. And with a crash upon the rocks, the boat was splintered and many lives were lost in a watery grave because the lighthouse keeper had not kept the lower lights burning to show the way to safety to the harbor. And one gentleman, when he heard that story, he thought about his responsibility as a Christian. And he penned the words to the old hymn, let the lower lights be burning. Let them be burning. Be a light to a dark and perverse world. Do your best. Do your best at sharing the gospel to other people. One thing that God has given us all to do, if you're a Christian today, God has given us the dispensation of the gospel. It is a steward. You are a steward of the gospel. If you receive the message today, you're a steward of the gospel. And whether or not you take responsibility does not negate the fact that you're still a steward. And we can make all the excuses that we want, and we can point fingers to blame, and we can say all we want, and one day we'll have to rehearse it all to God. But at the end of the day, we are still stewards of the gospel. Whether we do it willingly or against our will, at the end of the day, we are stewards of the greatest message ever told. And what will we do with that message? If you've received it, you'll owe it to others. Pay the debt. Tell others of the Lord. We have opportunities here at our church to get the gospel out. We have our There Is Hope campaign. I just received an email last night. Someone went onto our website or scanned the QR code, received one of There Is Hope cards, and filled out the form saying they received Jesus as their Savior. That's what it's all about. I tell you, we could spend thousands of dollars on invitations, and if one person gets saved, it's worth all of it. It's worth every dime. It's worth every street. It's worth every effort for one soul, because Jesus said one soul is worth more than the world. God help us today. to get involved, to do something for the gospel's sake. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for all that you've done. I pray, Lord, that